You're listening to Leaders Portfolio Audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the co-founder and CEO of Logic, Mr. Andy Wilson. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio Studio, Andy.
Thank you.
Logic has 2008 revenues of $4.4 million, 8 employees, landed as number 181 on the Inc. 500. So congratulations on that.
Thanks a lot.
I know it was a lot of work to get there.
Yes, it was.
Now, Logic created the e-discovery processing platform Grid Logic. Mm-hmm. Explain what that does for clients.
Sure. So we provide a service. I mean, it's a business-to-business service for our clients who are corporations, law firms, government agencies. And they call on us whenever there's an investigation or some sort of litigation, maybe a merger and acquisition where there's a discovery request. And nowadays, when you have a discovery request in the court, it's a lot of electronic information, emails, spreadsheets, office files, things like that. And so we wrote software, which is what Grid Logic is, that takes this massive amount of information and quickly goes through it and culls it, reduces it, and makes it into a more usable format for our clients to go search through so that, you know, they can find the proverbial needle in the haystack, so to speak.
And how did you get this concept?
Let's see. Well, we started the company in 2004. And the process for what we're doing now was a little backwards. Like most of our customers are law firms, and they would take this electronic information, say your email, right? Let's say you've got 50,000 email messages, and probably have a bunch of attachments in there. That information would be printed out to paper. And then they would go through and read it and put their sticky notes on it and make their piles of saying, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. Well, that's a very expensive and time-consuming process. So electronic discovery wasn't brand new when we started, but it was just becoming kind of hot because there was a different way of doing things. Like, why print that out to paper when you can preserve it in its original format? Make it searchable, apply more sophisticated software to the data, to shrink it. You might hire 100 attorneys, now maybe you only need 5, to go through this information. So it's a significant cost savings for our client. So we looked at it as, this is a huge opportunity. It's an obvious problem. This is the way it should be done. And so we set out to create this platform.
And did you, apart from law firms, who else do you serve?
Pretty much anybody who needs data mining, but it goes from corporation. It all starts there, or government agency, because those are the people that hold the data, the custodians of the information. So let's say, you and I are in a lawsuit, mm-hmm. one another. You're Corporation X and I'm Corporation Y. And I say, okay, hey, look, in order for me to prove my case, I need to discover information that you have. So I'm going to request your email for the past 5 years. And that means you're going to have to go out and get that information from your IT guy, mm-hmm. right? And he's going to pull that information. And because you don't want to give me everything, you don't want to give me stuff that's not related to the matter that I'm suing you for, you only want to give me the responsive information and withhold privilege, attorney-client privilege things and confidential things like that. So you're going to go and hire somebody like me who's going to put that through a software application and our instance, it's Grid Logic, mm-hmm. and we're going to rip it all apart, get all the attachments out of the emails, make it into a nice searchable database. It's kind of like what Google does for mm-hmm. websites, we do for corporate data.
Okay. And is anyone else competing with you in this space?
Oh, yeah.
How
absolutely.
Do they differ?
Oh, man. In a lot of ways. I would say most of the companies in our space differ in the fact that they do more than we do. Because we are a niche company, we just do one thing. We call it processing. But the umbrella of e-discovery is quite large. So if you look at all of our competitors, you'd see almost an entire umbrella of services that they're offering. Jack of all trades type of company.
And you said you started this company in 05.
04.
04. And so, and you're on the Inc. 500 list as number mm-hmm. 181.
Yep.
2008 revenues of $4.4 million. But it wasn't that easy in the beginning. You started in the dining room of a Washington, D.C. apartment with your savings, credit cards, one computer, and no outside capital.
Yeah. That's right. that was, you got to start somewhere, right? And I started, it wasn't just myself, there's a co-founder, Shin Yang. He's the architect of GridLogic. I'm more of the business side, but I also have, you know, an IT background. We started in my dining room. We actually had a couple more servers than just one because it's a distributed application, which we were fortunate enough because I had a friend who worked at Dell, and he gave me a great deal on leasing some pretty fancy, at the time, pretty fancy computers. Our startup costs were somewhere around $20,000, we didn't have to raise capital. You know, the first job that we got from our first client paid for all of our startup expenses and gave us a little bit of profit. You know, went to the movies and we were singing and dancing.
Stopped eating ramen.
Stopped eating ramen. My wife was very happy because she realized that, you know, this is probably going to take off and she can have her dining room back. Which, you know, about
so you, were you married when you started?
Oh, yeah. I did all the worst things you could possibly do in terms of starting a business. Yeah, I bought a condo. This was before we started. I bought a condo. I got married. and it was tough. So we were just living off of her salary. And she's a junior consultant at Bearing Point. We were hustling our friends for money, playing poker. And we're doing pretty much anything you can to, you know, keep the lights on, because our electricity bill was outrageous. I mean, if you walked into my condo, you'd see, electrical wire like everywhere, like plugged in, because I'd blow fuses all the time. So all the server power that was taken.
That's funny. Yeah. And so you had to get your wife's buy-in to do this.
Okay. Which her whole family. I mean, it
was, right. Yeah. You marry my, you know, daughter and then you risk everything.
Exactly. Because
right?
her father is a very talented man. He was vice president of engineering for a large construction company. He built his way up. You know, they're from Iraq. Engineering background, very, very much into education. Went to Wharton, business school. And so I tell him, like, look, I'm going to quit my well-paying job and start this company that might succeed. And at first he said no, but I convinced him otherwise.
And now he's probably happy because you can take him to dinner now, right?
yeah, absolutely. He never lets me pay, but yeah.
And does he help you? Is he like is he a business consultant? Probably.
Absolutely. I had a lot of dumb ideas in the beginning, and I always bounce things off of people just to get their perspective on things. And he gave me so much good, real world feedback. Like, that's just doesn't make any sense, and here's why. So we do that to this day. I probably talk to him every week.
Wow. So give me a decision that led to kind of a disaster for you and you had to regroup from that.
Oh, man. Well, there's lots of mini disasters that you learn from. But I would say one of the bigger disasters that we did was a pricing change. It's amazing how sensitive your customers are to the littlest things. You know, so if you change one price, you might think internally in your own little world that this is a great idea. People are going to like this pricing model. And when you put it out there, you think other people will think the same thing. When it turns out, it wasn't. So it was a disaster for about a month. You know, our customers were just peeved at, wait a minute. We basically went from an all-inclusive model to an a la carte model.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the recession, we thought people would like that, because they wouldn't have to pay, the one, we have very simple pricing, the one fee. They want, you just want this, you want this, and that wasn't the case. So the biggest thing we learned was, talk to your customers first before you make those types of changes and get their reaction before you put it into place.
What's a good leadership decision that you've done?
I would say hiring is probably the biggest thing. You know, don't compromise based on someone's resume. If we have certain things, that everybody has to go by, and we've had people who looked great on paper and would probably be amazing in any other company, but wouldn't really fit in here. They wanted certain things that we didn't give other people. So we didn't compromise on that, because that's not fair. you know, to everybody else that's working on. So we really focused on culture, and that's probably the best thing you can do, I think, as a CEO, because you're creating a place where people are going to spend the majority of their time, you know, especially in a startup where people spend a lot of their time there.
When do you consider yourself not a startup?
Hopefully never. I mean, the startup is a great place to be in, because you can move on a dime, and it just has that, you know, that vibe. And so, yeah, never.
What's your leadership philosophy?
Leadership philosophy. I don't really have one in particular. I mean, it comes down to, I think, really simple stuff about, you know, treat other people the way you want to be treated. You know, be smart about things, be responsible, be accountable, everywhere, you know, from the top down.
And, you're now located in Chinatown in DC, your company.
Yeah.
And we're talking with the co-founder and CEO of Logic. And one of the things that I had read about you was you don't believe in widely available one app fits all commercial off-the-shelf software for e-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you think your clients don't want a one fit. So although you said earlier that you're only kind of offering one type of e-discovery, you're able to beat out the bigger companies because you really customize for clients. Is that accurate?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that was our
proposition,
our guess. You know, when we started the company, we guessed that people want more customized e-discovery services. And we were like, okay, well, we're just going to do one thing and try and be the best at that. And it turns out it was right, and you know, our market was validated. And we were entering a market that already existed, and we're not trying to create something new. But what we didn't know was whether or not people would care about that type of thing. And, you know, sure enough, they did, because e-discovery can be very, very complex. And if you don't understand the way information is created and organized inside of a corporation, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. So it's a domino effect. And we look at ourselves as that first domino. And if you don't get that right, and the whole e-discovery life cycle, everything else will
doesn't
be affected,
work.
All the way down to trial. So that's what we sell.
Excellent. We're speaking with the co-founder and CEO of Logic, Andy Wilson. Now, Andy, you have a Virginia Tech degree.
Mm-hmm.
And but you said you kind of, you know, you don't spend as much time on the IT side as the business side now.
Right. I kind of flow in between both worlds, because I really love technology. But I also love a really good business problem. E-discovery is a huge business problem. And I think this industry is in its infancy right now. When we first started, it was around $400 million or less market opportunity. Now it's upwards of $4 billion and growing at 20 to 30%. So there's obviously a huge business opportunity there, but you've got to have the right technology as well.
And you're on the Inc. 500. So do you think you'll be able, I mean, are you taking that opportunity? Are you going to make it again?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The Inc. has been, it's been good and bad. I mean, we get more phone calls now than we did.
People who want to be hired or clients?
Both. So that's another thing we learned in a recession. You get a lot of noise. So when you're hiring, like we doubled our company from 2008 to 2009. Now we have 14 employees. And you know, getting resumes out there, you get 500 resumes
for one position,
and wow. So you've got to go through and filter that information. And we're like, man,
do you put it through your do you put it through your software
well,
platform?
We were thinking about that, but we were really, really busy this year. So, you know, with the economy tanking, like it wasn't as much litigation, I guess, as people had expected. You know, some law firms actually went out of business. But the business was still good. You know, people were still popping up, new companies popping up. There's 600 companies in this space.
So, law firms in this area?
No, 600 e-discovery.
Oh, 600 companies. E-discovery.
And again, it's a big umbrella. It's like saying I do financial services.
Right.
Well, which part of that do you
right.
do? Right. And we just do processing.
Okay. Excellent. And so you doubled the company employee size. Are you still planning on growing in the next year or so? So you're on a kind of a high growth.
Yeah. We're kind of stepping on the gas right now. We've never done marketing before, and we're starting to do marketing. So We're definitely growing.
I want to thank you for being here, Andy. I appreciate having you in studio.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Thanks for being on the Leaders Portfolio. We'll be back after this. Ernst & Young, Entrepreneur of the Year for Maryland Region, next.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.